Welcome back to the Grey Lounge.
Thank you, yes.
Before we go any further today, I've got a question for you that I will phrase in deference to our guest that we will introduce you to shortly. Why does my coupon always look as red as it does?
That's a very good question. Mine is looking good. Why are you, where's he?
I better explain.
Look at that camera.
Face in Scottish is coupon.
Yeah, coupon. Definitely a coupon. Your coupon is red.
Isn't it? Always.
How's your blood pressure these days?
Well, as you know, I'm taking anti-medication to address that. So briefly through the newspapers, because we don't want to waste too much time this morning. Very, very special guest. Again, big thanks to Ron yesterday and
Stephen, yeah,
Ron Atkinson for joining us. So it turns out that the English are best at taking penalties after all. And this is after a study in Germany. Now, can you imagine this? German scientists have offered a crumb of comfort to English footballers after analysing more than four decades worth of football data. They have deduced that there is no English penalty curse. I could have told them that without them going to the trouble of spending time looking through four decades of penalties.
Well,
it's all down to simple bad luck.
Well, to be fair, England have had a lot of that then, haven't they, over the years?
a survey trawling back through four decades of penalties.
No, you just have to look back at all the penalty shootouts they've lost and understand that, yeah.
It happens.
You weren't quite good enough.
No, it happens.
No,
it's not about being good enough.
Well, of course
it's down to good fortune or bad fortune.
Sorry, it's not down to good fortune or bad fortune, a penalty.
Of course it is.
Why is it?
Because in that moment, it should be 60-40 on the taker as far as an advantage is concerned.
Should be 70-30, I would have thought.
Oh, is that right? And how many did you take?
That's irrelevant how many I took. No, it's irrelevant.
And why did you not take
them? And by the way, our guest will tell you about penalties. I bet he'll agree. Yeah. It's nothing to do with a luck. He put it down and he knew what he was doing.
You put it down and took three in your career.
Well, and what was my strike rate?
What is the difference between Andy Cole's goal-scoring record and Alan Shearer's?
Alan's got 60 penalties in it.
59.
Oh,
and the difference between the two is 59.
Is it really?
There you go. Here's the serious news.
So, you asked Shearer, was it skill or not? He'll tell you. It was
you
absolute
put
skill.
Put through it.
Not luck.
Of course, you put it down. It's a free shot at goal, as Matt Letizia always said. He scored 49 out of 50. You just put your foot through it. It's good fortune.
Well, our guests never put his foot through them.
Do you mind?
You caress them.
UEFA's plans to finish the Champions League thrown into disarray yesterday after France ended Ligue 1.
Yeah.
Which maybe there's a little bit of reality creeping into this situation.
That might be the first domino, you know. That's the first of the big leagues.
It has to be, Andy.
That's the first of the big leagues. It's decided time.
It's unprecedented, it's unfortunate, but it's also unfair for us to be talking about playing football when people are on the front line saving and giving lives. It's just not right. And Michael Doogue here, I mentioned this briefly yesterday, the FIFA medical chief has said, look, Leeds should cancel, like France, and start again in August to avoid a new spike in coronavirus cases. He's absolutely right. It's just madness to be trying. It doesn't work. Even in Germany, the Bundesliga season plunged into fresh doubt with the German government gearing up to tighten lockdown after a fresh spike in figures.
Yeah, I think Angela Merkel is about to intervene there, I think.
Yeah, we always like an anniversary. On this day, April the 29th, 1923, Bolton beat West Ham 2-0 in the first FA Cup final played at Wembley in front of 180,000 people.
I love it.
On the subject that we were just discussing, Brian Robson talking in the Mail today, I concur, it is nonsense to talk about playing again when hundreds are still dying. Have to mention the sad passing of Michael Robinson, the former Liverpool striker, age 61 after a long illness. Only spent a year at Anfield, but what a year.
What
won
a
three
year.
Trophies.
Treble.
Yeah. Went on to have a fabulous career
that
in Spain.
That was even mid-80s. I think that was the year before I went to Everton. It was a year before we were attempting the treble. I think it was mid-80s, wasn't it, Michael was there? Had that one year they won the
Joe Fagan.
League, European Cup and League Cup.
Yes.
That's right. And we were going for a similar treble the next year.
They didn't go out to a Chinese on the Thursday there. Daily Mirror.
Scandalous.
Project Restart is turning into Project Fear. It can't happen. And here's one that we mentioned weeks ago. Back page of the Mirror today, Reds Party Peace, P-E-A-C-E. Authorities have realised that if Liverpool play at Anfield and secure the title in an empty stadium, everybody will be outside. And that's not what they want.
Well,
there's a surprise. Jamal Khashoggi's widow has written to the Premier League saying, you have to stop, and the British government, you have to stop this proposed takeover of Newcastle United by the Saudis. She says, I trust the Premier League and the British authorities value their own principles above this transparent attempt at sports washing. I report only the fact. And the FA and Premier League are set to agree on squad quotas. This is to get European footballers into our leagues, Andy, now that your Brexiteers have taken us out of the European market, so that we won't see the influx that we've previously had.
Not a bad thing.
Which I think is a bad thing.
No, no, but listen, if it's going to encourage our own players, our homegrown players, our British players, there are too few of them.
Why is this the most popular league in the world?
No, I know that. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just
saying
of
the variety
it might
of people
not be a bad thing. All I'm saying is it might give people like our guest and myself who had opportunities to come to England as a young kids more of a chance to do that. Who knows?
Well, they don't come these days. If they were good, Andy, they'd come.
The Scottish League
not good
is
enough
full
anymore.
Of cheap imports. Full of cheap imports.
I was
Scottish
talking
football.
About the Premier League.
Well, I'm talking about Scottish League. That's why they don't come.
No, you weren't.
I was.
Tottenham have been named the Premier League's most valuable club ahead of the Manchester Giants and Liverpool because of their highly commercial stadium and the fact that they've got a very, very low wage bill. Tottenham first.
That's the way they might not have after
City,
that announcement.
United, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, Wolves, Newcastle, Burnley, Leicester. There's your top ten. Interesting. And Everton are after James Rodriguez.
Saw that.
You'd take that, wouldn't you?
Well, he's worked with him, isn't he, Ancelotti?
Yeah.
In Germany, I think.
Paulo Dybala has tested positive for coronavirus for the fourth time in 6 weeks. That's another reason why you can't play.
Four times in 6 weeks.
How
can you test four times in 6 weeks? I thought it's got a 2 week incubation period or whatever.
He has tested positive four times in 2 weeks. I'm not a scientist.
No, am I.
But I also, and I make the point again, that the millions of tests that are required to get the game playing could be and should be used for others far more needy, surely. A number of innovations that the Premier League brought to us were squad numbers, which I have to confess in the early days I didn't like, but have grown to love.
Yeah.
Prior to the squad number, there were one or two players that chose a number. Cruyff.
Yeah, 14.
14. Our guest today wore that same number a lot.
No.
And I want to know why.
No.
Because he was doing it before anybody else.
No, Richard.
Our guest today.
Richard.
Yeah, eh?
No. He wore that because in those days, he was a sub.
Was he?
Yeah, it wasn't by choice. It wasn't by choice.
Oh, is that what?
No. See, we didn't have squad numbers then.
Ah.
So he.
Well, I wondered
when
why.
You saw him with 14, that was because he'd just come on.
I thought
he was
a big fan of Johan Cruyff.
No. Oh, he's there. He's there.
Our guest today is
in case
think,
you don't recognise him.
Now, I should introduce you in case you don't recognise him. I think the most enigmatic footballer of his generation.
I wouldn't argue with that.
Right? I watched the documentary the other night, The Real Ally McCoist. It's brilliant. Alistair Murdoch McCoist, often referred to as the judge during that period of time.
The judge?
Mm-hmm.
Go on, Alistair. The judge?
Yes. Do you know why?
Well, First of all, I've got to say a very, very good morning to you boys.
Good morning, Alistair.
Normally, when I see you guys, you give me a kind of 5 minute, 10 minute break-in period before you rip me apart. But you started very early. I think it's only right that I fight back.
Andy, yes.
You never informed me that Kesey could speak French. I mean, when he said that... Andy, league on. I mean, I swear to God. I closed my eyes and I thought for a minute it was Rennie out of a lower low. Positive to magic.
Oh, you don't take long, Alistair. Well done, fella. Well done.
The point was made a number of times in that documentary. Don't take him on because he'll always win. So, known as the judge, Andy, because of the amount of time he spent on the bench when Graham Souness was manager.
Ah. Well, listen, that's a good way to start, Alistair, because I've always wanted to know this. Because I had that 1 year at Rangers, fortunately, when you were there, the first year of the nine in a row. Do you think, in a serious matter to this, do you think if Graham had stayed, you would have had as many games as you did under Walter, for instance?
It's a great question, Andy. I've thought about it on numerous occasions. I've got to tell you, and you remember it well, it was just a positively magical time to be involved at Rangers in Scottish football when Graham came up. It was. And it obviously was documented that, you know, we always didn't see eye to eye, and he left me on the bench a couple of times. That's what I was going to say about squad numbers. Keezy, I don't know if you know, Keezy texted me last night and said, I'm watching this video and you've got a number 14 on. He said, I wasn't aware you picked number 14. And I said, well, actually, I wasn't, Keezy. It was Graham that used to pick it for me. So I used to, quite well documented, be on the bench under Graham on numerous occasions. I've got to say, at that time, the three strikers probably vying for the two places were myself, Maurice Johnson and Mark Hatley. So competition, was pretty fierce. Mm. But in answer to your question, I'm not sure, Andy, because when Graham left, I was getting back in the side about that time and scoring goals, but Graham left, and I think then Morris went to, did Morris not go down to Everton at roughly the same time?
Yeah,
I'm sure he did. And then, thankfully, Walter gave me a run in the team, and effectively I never looked back. So it was one of these things. It was a bizarre situation, but I've got to tell you, and you both you guys know where I'm coming from. I mean, I absolutely love Graham. I really do. When I look back, he was fantastic for my career. He was fantastic for Rangers, brilliant for Scottish football, and certainly transformed our club, you know, and grabbed it by the scruff of the neck, Scottish football, and turned it around. Mm. And at that time, Andy, you'll know yourself, we're signing great players, clearly yourself, Trevor Stephen, Gary Stephen. But I think
No, sorry, Ali. Sorry, Ali. Let's just start that again. Yep. We were signing great players, Trevor Stephen, Terry Butcher, and yourself was unnecessary.
No, I think it was,
at that time.
Actually, Alistair, I think it was a thank you. Thank you, Alistair, for putting me in that group. Thank you.
Andy, you thoroughly deserve to be in there, mate. Don't you
thank
worry
you.
About that.
Thank you, Alistair.
Don't even honest with you. And also, great two of Graham's first three signings were indeed the England goalkeeper Chris Woods and the England captain Terry Butcher. Yeah. So, as I say, it was really, really exciting times. And you had to get your seatbelt fastened and try and stay on board for the ride. It was brilliant.
Can I just tell you two something you might not know? The reason that they were Graham's first two signings is because he sat in his villa in Italy with Trevor Francis and was discussing taking the job. And he said, who would you make your first two or three signings? And Trevor said, Chris Woods, Terry Butcher, and I forget who was the third. But
probably said Trevor Francis. Yes.
But Ali, I have to say, for Graham, always, and he's misunderstood. He does take on the defence of the underdog. Michael Robinson's a great example, who we just mentioned. I was watching last night Davy Cooper testimonial. Davy playing for Rangers at a time when the club had stopped all that, and Graham said, no. If I'm the manager, and you've been here as long as you have, you get a testimonial.
Oh, yeah.
But I've also been watching the Gascoigne years at Ibrox, which is just sensational. Now, there's one moment in there, Alistair, I need to ask you about. Aberdeen at home, I think 8 in a row. Gaz has got 2. Gordon Jury gets brought down. Penalty, 88 minutes. McCoist picks the ball up.
What?
Yeah.
No.
McCoist picks the ball up. And it's under his arm. And Gazza comes across and says, Ali.
Hat-trick.
You've got loads of goals. Now, this is the bit that interested me. McCoist's response was, yes, but I might not be getting too many more. I'm leaving.
Ooh.
Alistair then said, he filled up. Go on, you take it. But they didn't go back to the question I need to know the answer to. Why were you leaving, or why did you think you were leaving, and where were you going?
Or were you just kidding them on?
Yes, it was effectively a lie, Keezy.
But he put the ball down. Gazza tucked it away for a hat-trick. What a day. What a player, Ali.
Keezy. Oh, man alive. That particular day, Gascoigne's stay at Rangers, and it epitomised Gascoigne as a player for me. I think we certainly lost an early goal, guys, and do you know what he did? He just about single-handedly grabbed the game with the scruff of the neck, because it was a vital, vital game for us in terms of going for the title, guys. And you know how somehow we've all been in teams where it's maybe not going to form, it's not going to plan, and you're just looking for something, Andy. You're just looking for a break. A bit of inspiration, whatever it may be. And I'll tell you what, boys, did he provide it that day? His first two goals were nothing short of magical. They really were magical. And then we got the penalties, you know, and he came up to me, and it was like looking at one of these big sinks with a drink round the neck. You know what I mean? With the big eyes, the puppy dog eyes, you know. And I thought, there's no way I can take this penalty. I'd have been hounded out of Ibrox. If I'd taken the penalty, I'll tell you right now. So thankfully, he took it and got, which I have to say to you, is probably one of the most magnificent hat-tricks I've ever been on the park when somebody... He was absolutely something else. What a football player.
What, that was as good as your hat-trick against Celtic in the Cup Final, was it? Early on in your life?
I wouldn't go that far, Andy. I said it was one of the best.
Oh, dear. Do you know when I saw you in that, what I did notice, Ali, early on in that documentary, was when you were in your early days, you took the first couple of penalties you took for Rangers. Your run-up, you must have came from about 40 yards away in one of the penalties. I wondered, what was all that about?
I don't panic. It was probably that time, earlier on in your career, maybe, Andy, you didn't, certainly, I didn't have the same confidence as you actually get as your career goes on. And I remember the one you're probably talking about at Hampden.
Yes.
80,000 the League Cup final against Celtic. I'm actually out the camera when I'm going to be taken against Bucky Bonner. And I often ask myself, I wonder why that happened, because it certainly didn't happen later on in the career. And I'm just thinking it was maybe just a lack of confidence in terms of I want a longer run-up, if you like.
A longer run-up? I thought you'd have been knackered by the time you got to the ball the way you started from way back there.
Absolutely, but I'll tell you, I want to talk about Graham as well. When you think about it, I was going to say to you guys, when he came up to Rangers, you know, clearly, as I said, Scottish football was taken, and it was just a cyclone. It was brilliant, and you back me up here, guys. What people forget, okay, he might not have been at his best, and maybe on the downward slope as a player. But I tell you what, Andy, he came up clearly as a manager, to test the water as a manager.
Yeah.
But what a football player Graham was. Dear me. What a smashing football player. And when you talk about, we were really, really blessed at that particular time, Andy. When you think about it, Graham and then guys like Gascoigne and Loudrup, Trevor, Stephen. Wonderful, wonderful
Ray football Wilkins.
Players to come and play the Rangers.
Aye.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary time. I just fell short, Ali, the year of the Battle of Britain. Now, watching that back again the other night, that story unfold. 82, was it 82? When Marseille went
83.
On to win? 83.
Robbed, we were.
No,
robbed.
I beg your pardon. It was 92.
92. No, sorry, 92.
Yeah. 82.
I think that word's correct. I think you were robbed, weren't you? I don't think you were ever going to be allowed to win that trophy that year.
Do you know something, Keezy? It's amazing. People always say, you know, we were actually a game away from the first Champions League final. See, if you look at it, it actually is worse than that. We were one goal away from the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Because we played Marseille in the second game of the group, and we drew 1-1 with them over there. And if we'd managed to score another goal, the last fixture would have been irrelevant because we would have been in the final.
Oh, wow.
And we had a chance, believe it or not, late on. They scored. I mean, they're a proper team, as you know.
Yeah, they did. You
know, Volar and Abdili Pelle and Boxic and Domp played Frank Sozzi. I think they went 1-0 up. Frank Sozzi scored. And then Ian Durant scored an absolutely beautiful goal to equalise against Barthez. And we actually pressed them. And in the last 5 minutes, we did have a chance to nick it 2-1, which would have saw us through to the final. But it definitely does leave a bad taste, because I think the tournament was the cup was actually taken off Marseille at that time, guys.
Yes.
Because of the chairman and owner, Bernard Tapie, was found guilty of...
He was very aptly named.
He was Tapieing at the time.
We were pre-warned, guys. When we went to Marseille, we were told specifically... And it was one of the first times that we did it with Graham, was take our own food. We took our own chefs, took our own food, because nothing was being left to chance, because there were strong, strong rumours that the CSKA Moscow team, who were a very, very good side, I think we managed to beat 1-0, They were beaten 6 or 7, I think it was, by Marseille. But I think it was 6 or 7 and went down with food poisoning. So there was one or two questions getting asked about that.
That's what I said. You knew that you were not going to be allowed to win that.
We did. Listen,
let's get it right up to date. What's going to happen in Scotland?
Well, listen, Andy, I'll tell you, Keezy. I don't even follow in the antics of the SPFL. Dear me, honest to goodness. We're the only country that can't even organise a vote without getting it wrong. They organised the vote, and then they gave the result of the vote when all the votes weren't in, right?
Yes.
Now, that might have been acceptable if the votes that hadn't been in didn't matter.
Yeah.
But it ended up Dundee had the casting vote. But what made it even more interesting, they said they'd already voted. I swear to God, Andy, it was like an episode of EastEnders. It was absolutely embarrassing. It really was embarrassing. So where we are at the moment, I think they're going to have another vote to see when the next vote is. And then they'll make a decision.
But I believe now there is a working party to decide whether to extend the league from 12 to 14.
Yes.
So Hearts and Anne Budge's on that party would not then be relegated. But the critical question is, should the title be handed to Celtic?
Richard, do you know something? I've been consistent with it all the time, right? I think no matter what happens, there's going to be a lot of people upset because it's going to be split,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Now, you've got to see straight away and include Liverpool in the same scenario as Celtic, lads. They deserve the opportunity to win the title outright themselves. And if you asked anybody from Liverpool or Celtic or Dundee United or whoever it may be that might get presented this trophy, this championship, they would want the right and the responsibility to go and do it themselves. And hopefully that will still be the case.
Yes. Now, well, I accept what you're saying. I think you're absolutely right. Of course, I concur. We all do.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be possible, is it, when we think it through clearly? We can't start playing football again. Not whilst people are dying. We just can't. It's not the right thing to do.
100%.
So what then?
Well, the big wigs have got a decision to make. And I'll tell you right now, no matter the decision you make, as I say, I'll upset people. Keezy, the bottom line is, I think the relegation issue is a bigger problem. Because if Liverpool are given the title, and Celtic are given the title, and Dundee United are given the title, no matter what happens, through no fault of their own, there will be an asterisk against it.
Of their own,
right?
Of course they will.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there'll be a question mark against it. Now, that's not Liverpool's fault. It's not Celtic's fault. It's not Dundee United's fault. Because they want the opportunity to try and win it. So if it's not going to happen, and it's given to them, there will be an asterisk against it, right? We can sit here and say, look, Liverpool were going to win the league, Celtic were going to win the league. But the fact of the matter is, to the rules, it clearly states the title will be awarded after all the games have been played and the team that wins the league wins the league. And that makes sense.
Hmm.
So the particular associations are in a completely no-win situation. None at all. Because in many ways, the English FA and the Scottish FA are a little bit fortunate in the respect that there's a gap between first, second, third and fourth. Now, if I asked you the question, if Liverpool were a point ahead of Manchester City and Celtic were 1 point ahead of Rangers, would they be given the title?
Well, that's a very, very good question, Ali. And the same rules would have to apply, wouldn't they? Unless you null and void it. See, for me, the one problem I've got with awarding the title, I don't think what you can do, I don't know if you agree, you can't say award Liverpool and Celtic the title and say, right, we're doing that, but at the bottom of the league, we're not going to have any relegation. You surely can't do that.
100%.
You can't have two different rules. You either have to say, all the league positions are as they are, and that's how we do it, and Villa are going down, and Bournemouth are going down. And that might be wrong in my opinion, but then you can't have one or the other, can you?
So you come back to my plan, which I floated when this first started, which is to reset the clocks, and we go back to last August and start again.
Well, that's what you're saying is null and void it?
Yes.
So it's a tough one, Alistair, isn't it?
Well, listen, Kezia, that is another option, right? Clearly that's another option. But getting back to Andy's point, Andy is 100% correct, in my opinion, Kezia, because then making two different decisions within the one league, that can't happen.
No.
And I said earlier, guys, we can argue, of course we can argue about should Liverpool get a title, should Celtic get a title, should Dundee United get a title. But for me, and I genuinely mean it, the far bigger issue is awarding somebody for something that hasn't happened is one thing. But in my opinion, there is no way in this earth that you can punish somebody for something that hasn't happened. How can you possibly relegate Aston Villa? How can you possibly relegate Partick Thistle?
You can't.
We've got a game in hand, both the games in hand, to take them out the relegation zone.
Agreed. It's and that's the problem, Alistair.
That's how I think up here, Andy, we're kind of flirting our way through it.
Yeah.
Because, people trying to appease everybody by saying, right, we'll have a league instruction. And Budgie's on the committee. Now, what's Anne going to vote for? Of course she's going to vote for Hearts' best interest.
Yes.
Absolutely going to do it.
So
she's crazy not to. So, you can't have two different rules within the one league.
No, of course not. So, it's not going to please everybody. No solution's going to please everybody.
No.
Reset the clocks. Start again.
Because that's yours.
If the bigger issue is that we're worried about the teams being relegated, then we have to make sure that they are better protected than those further up the league. Start again. Reset the clock. I'd like to do this interview again.
We'd like to spend more time again
with Alistair Murdoch McLeod. McLeod. McCoist.
McCoist. McLeod. He's gone, Coist. He's gone.
By the way.
Ali McLeod. That name haunts me, Ali McLeod. I hope he doesn't call you that.
Andy, he's blaming me for that Scotland fiasco in Argentina at the World Cup as well. What's going
on? Alistair, thank you for spending time with us. We're extremely grateful to you. I know you've been working all morning as well. It's been brilliant. Thanks,
Alistair. By the way, quick advice, get that off your chin. Come on.
Guys, hopefully soon.
Smarten yourself up.
Okay, mate. Look after
yourself. Ali McCoy, different class. Absolutely love him. And
I meant that,
the most enigmatic.
Fantastic.
What a character.
Loved him.
Question of Sport introduced him to the UK, really.
Yeah.
And it's only got better from there.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time. Look after yourselves, please. Back here tomorrow at the same time, wherever you're or however you're watching us, either on beIN Sports or YouTube. And of course, what do we all say?
Stay safe, guys.